This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome to Bet and Breakfast, a podcast from BetSided.
Hey, does anybody want coffee? Who wants coffee?
It's sports betting for everyone.
I'm here to tell you today that the New York Yankees season is done. Stick a fork in them. It's over.
Lamar Jackson, I can't believe he's that low on the list that he's my bet for sure at this point in the season.
Early leans, best bets, props, parlays. If you can bet it, we've got it.
I'm taking the over on this. If you look at the last five games, this is a game waiting for points to be scored.
Tom Brady, I think everyone's heard of him. If Brady puts up the numbers, they have the 10th easiest schedule the rest of the way.
Get in, get out, and you're ready to go.
I think they're going to have to give him the award if Dallas ends up locking up this division and possibly even that number one seed.
And here are your hosts, Ben Heisler, Ian McMillan, Peter Dewey, Donovan Smoot, and Reed Wallach.
What comes before anything? What have we always said is the most important thing?
Breakfast.
Family.
I thought you meant the things you eat.
What is good, everyone? Welcome into Saturday edition of Bet and Breakfast. I'm your host, Donovan Smoot. Got the homie Reed Wallach with me today. We got a packed show for you guys. We got some NBA talk, NHL talk, WNBA talk, some UFC talk, all the talk that you can get, we have right here. Reed, what's going on, man?
Nothing, man. Same old, big Friday night. I mean, Steph Curry masterclass. My Mets stayed hot. But, I mean, what else could you say about Steph Curry? I mean, on the road like that, I think, like, was that – I don't want to be prisoner of the moment, but was that, like, his – was that his best game ever, you think? Figuring in the moment itself, what he finished with, 43?
Yeah, he finished with 43-10, 14 of 26 from the field, 7 of 14 from 3, 5 of 6 from 3 in the second half, which is crazy. It's definitely up there. I think it's top 2. Maybe it's definitely top 3 in terms of, like, playoff games.
He had that one game against the Rockets after Durant went down. I think he had like 30 or something in the second half. I'll pull it up when we
He had 33 in the second half after going scoreless in the first half.
Yeah, and they closed out.
I'm a very big Curry fan.
That might be number one, but like given the circumstances of, and we're gonna talk about it, but like that's just like that's what it's all about. That like right there, watching Curry on the road like that, all time player doing all time things, just awesome. But what a way to start the weekend. But we got a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we do. But before we get into all that stuff, because we're gonna do a deep dive into everything on the Curry note, is there any, because I was having a blast last night, because as a like Steph Curry like fan, right, I don't know if there's anybody else that I'd like to see just get hot more than Steph Curry. And so like my question, so like that's for me, when he's on fire, that's the number one thing that I like to see in the NBA. For you, right, throughout NBA history, who would you choose as, like, who's the best player to watch when they're on fire?
NBA history?
So yeah.
We go.
Yeah, you can.
And Curry has to be, because Curry's a different type of heat check, because he, like, shoots, he's shooting threes. So, you know what I mean? Like, it looks almost more impressive and, like, they're worth more points, obviously, but, like, the fact that he's like changed the 3-point shot makes him the easy choice. He's probably number one, I think, consensus number one pick. I mean,
would he be consensus?
I think so. Cause like, is a LeBron heat check like domination? Like, it doesn't hit the same way like a Steph heat check. Cause like Steph threes, like they come from like half court and stuff. Like he's like doing stuff that like can't be replicated. I mean, I'm obviously spoiled, but like Kyrie heat checks are pretty crazy. Durant heat checks are pretty crazy, but like those are active. Let me think back a little bit more. I want to get a little bit more.
I'll say this, right? So I have Curry one. Two is the guy that I have right here. I think watching Kobe go crazy is ridiculous. Also for the same reason that Steph is, because when he's in his bag, he's taking, 25-foot fadeaway jumpers.
Okay.
And you have like guys in his face. So like he's like, Kobe's the master at taking hard jumpers, right?
Okay.
Like that's his thing. So I think that it's like Steph and Kobe. And in terms of like other guys, honestly, I'm not even gonna lie. Like, you know, watching old like Larry Bird highlights and watching Bird like go everywhere. I like all those.
I got two for you just off the top of my head because I'm trying. You know, I'm trying to go through the quick hard drive in my head. Yeah. Dirk, because Dirk could give you 30 easy. He could just get the ball on the block, turn around, bucket every single time. And another, you know, he played for the Nets for a while, but Vince Carter used to have crazy runs. And you could even throw Tracy McGrady in there, his cousin. But when Vince Carter would get going, because he was so explosive, it would probably, like, you know when, like, a guy goes on a run and the crowd's building into it, and then they have, like, that one shot on the other team, like, you're at the coach already, like, at half court, like, timeout. Yeah. It would usually end with a Vince Carter, like, insane windmill dunk, and the entire crowd would just lose their skull. So Vince Carter, I mean, he played for the Nets for a while. He averaged probably like 25 a game. So Vince Carter heat checks were insane. Dirk was pretty crazy. I mean, different guys like fit this mold. It doesn't have to be like the best player. Like I could think back to like even a few years ago, like when it's gonna sound so like flash in the pan, but like when Isaiah Thomas on the Celtics had that 1 year, like it was insane because he was so much smaller than everyone. He was dribbling through every offense. So he would like, you know, I know it's 1 year, so like he was up there. I mean, we're looking at Steph, but like Clay, guy scored 37 in a quarter. That's one of the most insane runs of all time. Guy's an absolute microwave. So I throw Clay in there. I'm trying to think like further back. I want to do guys that just aren't playing right now. Kind of tough off the top of my head. Kobe's a good one, obviously.
I don't know. I think you have to be, and like the Carter one's interesting because I think that you have to be a jump shooter in order for it to like have the effect to be like a top three guy, because like if like when Giannis goes for 50,
it's different. It's
like
expected.
Like it's still great, and you're just like, oh my gosh, but you're like, fam, like you're 7 feet tall.
Yeah,
this is like the James
Harden. Why would you mention Shaq?
Yeah, it's the same reason. It's like the James Harden where he's like, dude, you have no back. Like, I wish I was just like 7 feet and run. Which I disagree. I think that Giannis obviously has a back, but like, that's just like, it's just a different thing.
Yeah, I feel you. Dame heat checks are also pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Guys with range that like could hit like just like bombs, it's like a different type.
Yeah. And listen, we saw all the bombs last night from Steph Curry. Just absolutely ridiculous, you know, display of shooting. Leads the Warriors to a win. I'm still just like speechless from everything that we saw last night. Our guy Ben Heisler chimed in. He said Reggie in the 90s deserves to be in the conversation. Saw him do it to my Bulls plenty of times. Trae Young in college was that dude too. That's actually a very good pick because Trae Young and I think our like ages or grades line up. So when he was a freshman in college, I was a freshman in college. And so I remember he came into Texas and it was game day and everybody like sits out, like everybody camps out. And that was one of like the biggest games. It's really crazy because he was just like, he was literally like the Steph Curry of college basketball. And he was like taking these like half court shots, and you're just like, oh my god! Like eventually it has to stop. But like,
yeah. I think
the Trae Young is really really that's a really really underrated pick.
Yeah, and I think Reggie Miller too. Again, it's like the 3-point effect of heat checks kind of changes how we look at them. You know, like we were just talking about Giannis. So like Reggie Miller, I mean, he was like the first great 3-point shooter like that. So I think Reggie's a good call too. A little bit before our time, but yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's talk game four.
Yeah. So last night. Right. So Steph, obviously narrative of the night, Steph goes crazy, Wills Golden State to a second win. Series is tied 2-2 now. Listen, what are your thoughts? What was going through your mind watching that game last night?
Yeah. So game three, I was big on the Celtics. I was like, I think the Celtics, they're gonna win pretty easy, double digits. So I was big on the Celtics. And then I kind of like the Warriors last night, and I'm pissed we didn't do a bet slip yesterday because I took Steph to win finals MVP as opposed to like taking the Warriors in this game. Because I said, I kind of like the Warriors in the game. I don't want to take the money line though. I took the under that hit, but I took Steph to win Finals MVP because I was like, I kind of like the Warriors, and this is a better number than Warriors to win the series. Warriors, like, maybe I'll come back and bet Celtics to win the series now plus money, take a profit. But, you know, Steph, and a lot of people are comparing it, so I don't think I'm breaking any ground anymore, but like, he is really, this is Pantheon all time, all the adjectives you could use performance out of him. He's dragging this team across that. I think Boston's the better team, and you could see it at different points last night. I just think Boston has a few more weapons to go to. Just think they're better, like, 2 through 5. But, you know, you had the best player in the series, and the guy just heroic from the start. And you could see in the third quarter, too, when he was heating up, you could just see he was, like, talking to himself. He was really, really locked in, different than any other performance. And I was just like, man, this, I don't know if this guy's going to let them lose. And then Jaylen Brown has those two layups and the foul. And they go down, I think, 4 or 5. And I was like, I don't know. And then Steph, there was one play, and I think this is kind of the chasm in the series, because I think Boston, I've said this entire postseason, Boston has just so many mental errors. I think they would be the worst dribbling team to ever win an NBA Finals. And I was saying this to you right before we went on. It just, I know they've been to a lot of conference finals, but it just feels like they're lacking that moxie, that championship-level kind of decision making out there, because they lack a point guard, and it works, and Tatum's been a good facilitator. Smart's picked up the slack, but you could look at how many turnovers they have and kind of attribute, oh, they lost probably because there's so many turnovers. But there's one play, it put the Warriors out in front, I'm pretty sure. It made a 1-point game where Clay hit the three at the top of the key, and I tweeted out a screen grab of it. Jaylen and Tatum both picked up Curry, and they're also, and you see Rob Williams in the paint kind of staring at Curry. Clay is just kind of trickling over top of the key, wide open. You know, that's a layup for him. And it just shows that, one, the pressure Curry's putting on this defense, this great defense. And I know it sounds like I'm kind of ragging on Boston. It's just how I'm seeing it. I said Boston's a very good team. But just showing the mental lapses. I get that you're afraid of Curry, but, like, can't leave Klay Thompson wide open, because I do think Boston is the better team on paper. But it just feels like there might be a mental kind of lapse that are going to cost them this series. I don't know if Golden State's going to win the series, but that's kind of what I'm seeing, is that Boston's mental lapses in terms of dribbling and decision-making late in games is costing them. That's just how I see it. I mean, you look at...
I completely agree. And I think that there was several times last night where the Celtics are, like, up 4, and you have Jaylen Brown coming down on the wing, taking pull-up threes in transition for no reason, right? Like, you have nobody under the rim to rebound. He goes down. He forces a layup in transition as well. And you're just looking at Brown, and it's like, he's also lucky that Tatum was able to save, or that Smart was able to steal the ball from Bielitsa on the other end, because he just dribbled it off his foot, and he's had a couple dribbling issues for the last, you know, two series.
But imagine if Jaylen Brown got a handle. He'd be amazing. He'd be top five. He'd be top five.
it's insane. When I look at what game four was, I see the Warriors doing the things that the Warriors do, right? And obviously, like, this is a much different version of Golden State. You're seeing a lot more of just, like, Steph Curry pick and rolls, and they're saying, like, hey, you're gonna have to take us here. We're gonna start the action here, because everybody else is good. You look at the rest of the lineup. Jordan Poole was 2 of 7 from three. I think Andrew Wiggins was like 2 of 6. Klay Thompson was 4-10. Like, you had a lot of guys.
I got the box score up for you. From three.
Yeah. I know Poole was 2.
Wiggins was 2 of 6. Klay 4 of 10. Poole hit 2. That was it, though. Otto Porter missed 2. Draymond obviously missed 2.
Yeah.
Bielitsa missed a 3, and Payton missed a 3.
Yeah. So I think like, when you're looking at this series, if they can get anything from Draymond this series, if they, like, he had a couple big plays on defense towards the end, but if they can get anything from him, the whole series unlocks, and that's why I think it puts Golden State at the advantage, because now you can finally have a two-way player in that sense. You're not playing 4-on-5 on offense, and it doesn't matter if you double Steph, because, you know, Dre's not even making the plays. Like, when was the last time we may have seen it in, like, game 1, but, like, he normally gets one a game with where he fakes the dribble handoff and then drives to the basket, maybe gets a lob or a layup there. We haven't even seen that. Draymond Green looks shook right now. And
yeah.
So that's just something very, very weird that you know, I've never seen.
It's funny because the real debate the past two games have been, and I noticed it in game one in the first quarter, that the Celtics bigs, like Rob Williams, he's playing drop on Steph. He's just freeing Steph up for a three. Same with Horford. They're not meeting him at the level. They're letting him, you know, get into a rhythm and mm-hmm. take the three. But it seems like what, you know, Udoka and what they're trying to game plan for is we're going to keep our big out there. It kind of works twofold because Draymond, they don't respect. They're putting Rob Williams on Draymond and they're kind of shutting off the paint because they're allowed to keep Rob Williams out there. But at the same time, you're freeing up Curry for three. But they're basically saying, we don't want Draymond playing that 4-on-3 where he's going to slip, Steph's going to hit him with a pass, and then Draymond's playing with advantage. Because you saw it, that it was kind of the dagger, that loony layup at the end that put them up like 5 or 7 with a minute left. They did blitz Steph and got the ball out of Steph's hands. Draymond had it, dumped it off to Looney, laid it in. Like, that's – I think the game plan for the Celtics, and it hasn't – I mean, it's gotten this far. They're two wins away from a championship, but they're saying, we'll let Steph get what he wants. We don't want anyone else eating.
That's a dangerous mindset.
But I think, because I'm looking at the box score now, pretty even game, like percentage-wise, shots-wise, they hit the same amount of threes. And it's funny where the Warriors kind of got their guy beat bad, was on the glass in game three, and like textbook classic NBA, the next game, it was the Warriors who dominated the glass. I mean, we saw Wiggins in the fourth quarter getting plenty of offense rebounds. He had 16 rebounds. But Warriors finish last night plus 13 on the glass, plus 5 on the offensive glass. But, I mean, the splits were the same. I mean, the Warriors, they made 6 more shots, but they also had 6 more attempts. Similar free throw marks. 3 is pretty much the same. So, you know, for me, it's coming down to the little things, the effort plays. I mean, the Warriors they're kind of living with Steph taking these, or the Celtics are living with Steph taking these threes, and we'll see. But yeah, just all time performance out of Steph.
Yeah. And so moving forward, right? So we look ahead to game 5 on Monday, another, you know, two and a half, three days of time in between, which is ridiculous. But so Curry has now retaken the lead for finals MVP. And the odds for finals MVP are a literal like mirror of what NBA Twitter is like, where every game is just so reactionary. And we've had a different finals MVP after each game.
Yeah.
And so now Curry is all the way down to minus 140 to win finals MVP. I know that you said that you got him prior to game 4, that you took him to win finals MVP. What are your thoughts for game 5? Because obviously, like, the Warriors would have to win the series to get that done. Do they go up 3-2? Do they go down 3-2? And now we have a Curry, you know, come from behind finals. What's going down in the next week or so?
Yeah. So I took Steph to win finals MVP as opposed to taking the Warriors to win the series, because I think they're the same exact thing. I actually think that, you know, this keeps up and no one on the Celtics really kind of pulls away. And this goes 7. You could see Steph get a finals MVP vote. And it's only happened once, but people were saying in 2016, if the Cavs lost that game 7, LeBron should get finals MVP. We'll see how this shakes out, but I'm feeling pretty good. When it comes to the Celtics side, I find it interesting because it seems like the narrative is changing on Brown and Tatum. They're very similar stat lines to me. This is just my opinion. I think the Celtics win it with Tatum. You know, like Tatum, to me, Jaylen Brown does not win this series for the Celtics. It's Tatum. I also think what Tatum is doing is he's taking on more of the load. He's facilitating a lot more. I think his playmaking is more warranted than his shot making in this series. So to me, I do believe if the Celtics ultimately do win the series, it would be Tatum getting the nod. I mean, if you want to take a flyer on Brown at 6-1, it's fine. To me, I mean, it's tough. Because to me, if obviously you want to take, I don't even know what the Warriors series price is, but whatever has a better number, that or Curry, just take that. They're the same. No one on the Warriors will win except for Curry. If you want to take the Celtics, I think it's Tatum. I think Tatum has to show up these last two games, or else I think the Warriors are going to win the series. when it comes to how I feel, I kind of lean Warriors in seven. It wouldn't shock. No outcome would surprise me at this point. Yeah. I do think, honestly, I'd be surprised the Warriors won game six.
Really? I have said from the my pick from the jump has been Warriors in six. The only thing that is ever going to change my mind about that is if the Celtics get a third win. But I've looked at the Celtics team, and the reason why I thought in six and not seven is because, one, you could say like, oh, like their wins in the playoffs have been fluky or whatever, but they haven't been as dominant as you think. In the first round, and you know this better than anybody, the margin of victory against the Nets was less than 5 points per game.
Right, you know that this has been like my take. I've been saying this the entire postseason.
We've been on the same page. So like you had like low key a close sweep against the Nets, and then you go to seven.
You bounce that series goes like six games, and we're talking about this team differently.
Exactly. And then you have the second round where you go to game seven against a Chris Middleton-less Milwaukee Bucks, and
they were down 3-2. And they needed like 46 from Tatum?
They needed 46 from Tatum and a Grant Williams legacy game to get the series. And then you go to Miami where Jimmy Butler and Kyle Lowry were hurt for three games of the series, and they almost blew that in game seven, right? They almost blew a 13-point lead in 2 minutes. Like, there's been in every single series you can say that the Celtics – they've done what they needed to do, and obviously, like, credit to them because they've gotten here. But I just haven't felt as great about them as everybody else has. And so that's why I'm like, okay, you look at the Warriors. They have the experience. They have the best player in the series. I thought that they would be getting a little bit more from Draymond. And if they can, over these last two games, and especially in game five, they can go up 3-2 and get home court and keep it again. That's going to be huge. So I think that's the key. So, like, for Curry at minus 140 – I'm not sure if like there's value anymore to take him as Finals MVP. If there's anybody that you're gonna take a flyer on at this point in the series, it's going to be Jaylen Brown, because the Tatum stuff, while his passing has been good, that's not why you love Jason Tatum. That's not why you look to Jason Tatum. You're not giving him the ball at the elbow with 5 minutes left so that he can go and make a pass. In the second half last night, Tatum goes 2 of 9, 1 for 4 from three, right? Like that, those things just can't happen. And then you have Jaylen Brown, who also thinks that like, hey, this is my time, I'm also the hero. He goes 4 of 11. And like I said earlier, takes two bad threes, takes a rush layup at the rim. I think that Brown is putting himself in as many opportunities to have that moment just as much as Tatum. And if they're both going to keep playing at the same level, you kind of have to go with Brown, because I think even like on the narrative side, his series has been better than what Tatum has given.
Yeah, I just think, again, I'm just trying to project out the series. Jaylen Brown being their best player, the Celtics are going to lose. So it won't matter who, you know what I mean, who should be the more deserving final, because I think they're going to lose. I think it's still up in the air. And I think if you are taking the Celtics to win the series and you want to bet Finals MVP, then I think you should go with Tatum to win. I get the odds and stuff, but I just think, to me, it's Curry or Tatum. It kind of has been the whole time, in my opinion. In terms of how I see the series playing out, again, I think the Celtics get game six, but on a Warriors in seven. I haven't had like a strong opinion on this entire series. Mm-hmm. I've kind of just been playing it game by game, and then I kind of put my foot in the ground and said, I'm going to take Curry, because I think I kind of thought they were going to win last night. I was cautiously optimistic. And now I'm in, maybe I'll, before Monday, take the Celtics to win the series and kind of like take some money. But, you know, we just went back and went through the Celtics, all their close calls and stuff. Last night, they were up two possessions with 5 minutes left or whatever. They scored 3 points in the final 5 minutes. You could only squander so many chances to close teams out and not get burned. They were down 3-2 to the Bucks. They went to seven and had a Jimmy Butler three go awry that would have lost them in the Eastern Conference Finals. You can only squander these chances so many times that it burns you, and now you're up against the Warriors. You don't have home court. You know, you're putting yourself in a really, really tough situation. I will say, though, considering every other game they play really well, they are in good shape because they, you know, the zigzag will go. They win five and they win seven. So we'll see. But, yeah, it's shaping up to be a classic series. So at least we're getting that.
Yeah, listen, it's been a great series. I clearly think that the Warriors are gonna pull this out, and they're finally gonna, you know, show up, especially since we're getting this Pantheon performance from Steph. But I want to switch gears a little bit because we're gonna go to Game Six. We're gonna go to the ice, and so the Rangers lost to the Lightning 3-1 in Game Five. They're now down 3-2. The Tampa Bay Lightning are up 3-2, -500 to win the series. And last Saturday, you asked me when the Rangers were up 2-0, you know, how I felt about Tampa Bay. And I told you, they are in perfect position. They just have to go home, win these two games, and then you're going to have to steal one in New York. And they have done that in three consecutive games. And what I'm seeing from the Lightning right now is – the reason why I still believe in them to win the Stanley Cup, they're plus 200 right now to win the Stanley Cup. Colorado Avalanche are minus 250. Then the Rangers are 16-1, plus 1600. This is the stuff that championship teams do. And especially when you are like the better team, they are the better team. They outplay New York every single game. And they're finally up 3-2. I think that they're going to close it out in Game Six. At home, what do you think?
Yeah, well, if you were tuned into Tuesday's Betside or Daily Bet Slip, you would have saw that I, instead of taking the Lightning in Game Four to tie the series, I went one step further and took them to win the Cup at plus 450. You know, I thought they were going to win the series. I thought there was a lot of value. I kind of am cautiously optimistic against the Avalanche, so I am now in on the Lightning. So. Looking good there. No, but all the points you said, and, you know, it was based on our conversation. It kind of helped me get there after I saw the Lightning take Game Three. I was like, you know what? This is the time to jump in. I think that the Lightning are kind of going to go and run away with this series. Better team won on Thursday. They won 3-1. They had a significantly more high danger chances than the Rangers. They were kind of controlling the puck the entire time. The Rangers, they would gain possession. They would get one shot on net and it would go back the other way. The Lightning were controlling the puck. They finally broke through in the final 2 minutes, got the empty net. They went 3-1. And I really hate, because, like, it's going to sound so stupid. I'll, like, have egg on my face if they lose. But, like, I said to my roommate, we're watching the Ranger game, and he's a Rangers fan. And I just – not, like, a big one. So, we were just having, like, a normal conversation. And I go, there's just no way the Rangers win on Saturday, right? Like, this series is over. Like, once they lost the way they lost in, like, gut-wrenching fashion, I was just like, they're not winning in Tampa Bay. Like, this series is over. Like, I don't want to dumb it down to that, but yeah, like, you're going back home to the two-time defending champs. It's kind of over. Like, I would be absolutely shocked if the Rangers respond and win in Game Six. And I hate to write them off like that because it's been a great run, but the Lightning are the better team. I think they're going to kind of, again, if, like, another low scoring kind of just, like, suffocate them a little bit, like, I don't know, similar scoreline, like 3-1, 2-0. Like, I think the Lightning won this one pretty easy. They go on. And I think that, you know, we're going to see what Colorado would be like a minus 150, minus 160 favorite. I kind of like the Lightning to get off to a hot start in that series looking ahead. So you said the Lightning are plus 200. It's not worth really getting involved, I guess. I guess, you know, might as well just wait and make sure the Lightning wrap up this series. But, you know, I feel pretty good about Tampa Bay's chances at making this a three-peat, and I'm in on them. So,
yeah, listen, this has been the story for New York kind of the entire playoff run. They've gone down, but they've just found ways to win. But it was kind of just a matter of execution, and with Tampa Bay. All they had to do was just finally, like, show up and play. And if we're just gonna drop the puck and everybody's gonna, like, you know, do what they normally do, Tampa Bay is going to win those games more often than not. This series, they have 30 more high danger chances, high danger scoring chances than the Rangers, right? In the two games that they won in Tampa Bay, they didn't allow a 5-on-5 goal. These are things where it just finally shaken out to.
Yep.
okay, like we are who we are, and when those things happen, like Tampa Bay gets there. So I'm very excited for the Lightning to be up 3-2. I also think that they close them out. Let me see what the line is for. So for game six,
probably like -180, right?
The Lightning are -200.
Oof. Oh, so they like odds makers are also kind of like looking like us, like, oh, they're making you pay if you want to back the Lightning tonight. I think they were like -175 in game four. So they kind of making you pay a tax for the gut punch in game five.
Yeah, this series is over. I know that you didn't want to like to do that because it was a nice run, but like for the Rangers, like, listen, it was a nice run. However, it's just over. So, you know, that's how the NHL is playing out. I'm pretty sure that we're gonna get a Lightning Avalanche Stanley Cup final, and that should be really, really fun with obviously the experience of Tampa Bay and just the complete dominance that Colorado showed in the conference finals. I want to end this off, right? I want to end this off with our best bet for the day, right? So we've talked NBA, we've talked NHL. Where are you going for your best bet of the night?
Yeah, well, this it's like getting into like that peak degenerate time because I'm now in the weeds on college baseball. I've taken a crack. We're off to a really good start there, actually. So maybe next week I'll get some more game previews up as I familiarize myself with another random sport. But we're going UFC tonight, UFC 275 from Singapore tonight. I am looking main event, light heavyweight championship, Glover Teixeira versus Yuri Prochazka. Pretty sure I said that right. So Prochazka, the challenger, is like a -200 favorite. I'm going to go with the champ, Glover Teixeira. 42 years old, guy's on this incredible run of winning as an underdog. I'm going to take it again. I think this fight's going to end pretty quickly. Listen, if Prochazka wins by knockout, I would not be surprised. This guy's legit. I just think that he struggled with grappling before, and there's no better grappler in this division than Glover Teixeira. The guy's a vet. If this hits the mat, I think he's going to finish it relatively quickly. Prochazka's going to kind of come out really hot, throw his hands, let it go wild. But if Teixeira just stays composed and stays standing, he's going to get this to the mat and wrap it up pretty quickly. Prochazka hasn't been challenged there. So, it's +165 on the money line. I think go for the bigger payout. I would be shocked if this goes to the decision either which way. So get that extra payout, take Glover Teixeira inside the distance, +240. And if you want all my best bets, they're up on BetSided. Go check those out. And I'll tweet those out after the show.
Yeah, that's awesome. And for sure, everyone, go check out Reed's, I think weekly UFC best bets column. I'm going to go to the WNBA for my best bet tonight. There's only one game on the docket tonight. It's Aces versus Sparks. I'm going to go with the Aces -7. It's not fair watching the Aces play basketball because their offense is just so much better than the rest of the league. And listen, I'm taking a -7. They beat the Sparks by 28 points the last time that they played. They have nearly their entire starting five averaging, either like 0.2 points in terms of like a margin of error of like 13 points or more. They're super efficient. Their defense is passable. They have like the sixth best defensive rating in the league. So it's average, it's nothing that's going to lose you games, but the offense is just so far ahead. Mm-hmm. And then when you look at Los Angeles, they have the second to last defensive rating in the league. They just fired Derek Fisher. There's a lot of turmoil. And while the Sparks can score and keep up with them, that defense will not be able to stop anything that Las Vegas is going to do. So I think that eventually the game gets away from them. If anything, if you wanted to, back Los Angeles in any type of way, you would take the over in this game, right? The over, it's sitting high at 176.5. I know. So like if anything, if you really felt good about Los Angeles, that's where you would put mm-hmm. it. But I just don't see them being able to keep it close with Las Vegas, who's 10-2 on the year and has kind of just blown through everybody. The only two teams that they've lost to, they lost to the Mystics early on and then they lost to the Connecticut Sun. And those are two teams that are probably going to be in the final. But if we're talking about the rest of the league and teams that are going to be picking in the lottery at the top, the Aces are going to wipe the floor with them.
So I remember we did our WNBA season preview,
yeah,
and we were talking about the Aces with Becky and, you know, coming in and all that. So give me, because I know you and Ben are much more plugged in on the WNBA, and let's just take a minute to admire best bets on a Saturday. We're going UFC main event and the lone WNBA game as our two best bets.
We,
but
well, listen, we are well-rounded here. We cover everything for every better we got.
But are the Aces as are they dominating as expected? Because I get my main WNBA handicapping when I'm on with Ben typically on Tuesdays and with you on the weekend. So it seems like you guys are both in on the Aces being the class of the WNBA. Is that a fair assessment?
No, it's 100% a fair assessment. If you look at the ranks, right? First in wins, first in points per game, first in net points per game, first in offensive rating, first in net rating, second in pace, and then sixth in defensive rating. Their one like true flaw is that they're not fantastic on the boards.
Okay.
They and honestly, that's really just on the offensive side, because if you talk about total rebounds per game, they're first in the league. But when we get to offensive rebounds per game, they're dead last. And that's most.
They're more like one and done.
Yeah, it's mainly one and done. But if you look up and down the stat sheet, you're gonna see a lot of, you know, first seconds for the Aces. So they are dominating as expected.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, no. I mean, I like it. And, I mean, Sparks fired their coach clearly in a little bit of turmoil. Aces seem like they could run it up on teams with their offense. So, I see it. I like it.
Yeah, so, listen, that's my WNBA pick. You got Reed's UFC. Make sure to go check out his best bets. Be on the lookout for all of Reed's college baseball previews coming in the near future as we have our
Oregon State. Mentioned. That's the team. Oregon State is who we're pulling for in Omaha.
Nice. Reed Wallet, college baseball expert over here at BetSided. But this has been Bet and Breakfast on a Saturday. Who's on tomorrow? I'm not sure who's going to be on tomorrow. Tomorrow it will be
Ian and Ben.
Yeah, it will be Ian and Ben tomorrow. Sunday edition. It will be Ian and Ben tomorrow. Saturdays and Sundays, you can find Bet and Breakfast at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central. And then also be sure to catch Daily Bet Slip, which is on Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central. And yes, and so until then, may all your bets hit and have a great day.